go off on the hour, every hour. And our challenge in the series is to pray every waking hour on the hour. Whether you, you know, when you're alone, whether you're with somebody, whether you do it out loud or quietly or pray with somebody, whatever that is, that's a challenge. And I really, really believe take this challenge. Take it. It's going to change your life. It's going to, some of us are wandering around and wondering why we can't really connect with God. You do this, and I believe it's going to revolutionize your life. So these are at the info center. They even come with a battery, and they're $3. So I would encourage you to do that. It's a challenge that I think we need to take. Another challenge that we have is to write on the walls our prayer requests. We did that when we were rebuilding the theater, and for 9 months kept writing prayers. Some of your names here today were here before you came, because you were being prayed for. And you've been prayed for every Sunday morning. Somebody is praying over these walls over there, and we're doing it afresh. And so the challenge is, go ahead and write on this wall. Make it public. What do you want to pray for? Who do you want to pray for? What do you want to give thanks for? Maybe you want to write the lyrics of one of your favorite worship songs or a favorite verse. Maybe you want to draw. You have permission to draw on the walls under the brown line. That's not, we're not going to graffiti this place. But just these foundational brown walls, and then even up on the stage. Come on up, there's markers on each one of these speakers, or up at the if you turn around, you'll see on the corner of the promenade rail are buckets, little miniature buckets that have these silver markers that'll work. So that's our challenge. And we're bringing these challenges on purpose because we want you to have breakthrough in your life. We understand that prayer can be frustrating. Prayer can feel like you're just talking to the air. Can we just be honest? Has anybody ever felt when they're praying, they're talking into the air? That's it? Really? We don't need this series? Are we serious? You feel like you're just talking to the air. How many times have you asked for something and you don't get it? Is there anybody here who has prayed for something and they didn't get it? All right. Honesty filtering into the room. Praise you, Lord. It's just what happens. But what if, just think, what if prayer is not about feelings or answers alone? What if? We find foundational truth in the scriptures. Adam and Eve in the garden, first few chapters of the scriptures, chapter 3, they walk away from God. They're guilty. They're guilty. They're afraid of God. They're hiding from God. They've sinned. Yet God pursues them. God goes after them. God doesn't just let them go. It's the very nature of God to go after us. We are prized possessions in his eyes. We are part of his creation, the crown of his creation, and he pursues us. In fact, the scriptures are just like so chock full of accounts of people who would run from God but would be pursued by this God. God could be called a pursuing God, and that's who he is. So what if prayer is less about feelings and answers, although that can be part of prayer? We can get feelings. We can have ecstatic feelings and answers. We can certainly get answers. But what if it's less about that and it's more with connecting with this pursuing God? What if? And could it be that our prayers that we currently pray, they're nice, they're good, they're not necessarily sinful, but they're not the way that God designed. And that's the reason why our prayers aren't working. I would say working with air quotes. They're not working because they're not as God designed. And I think in this series we're going to find out that prayer is about connecting with our power source. Prayer is about getting in communication and in oneness and even communion with the one who is our provider, the one who is our corrector, the one who is our director. He's the one who is our all in all. What if it's more about that? And his answers and the feelings come secondary. When we were kids, toys were bigger and maybe even a little bit more grander. The best toys were from Japan. And I don't understand it. I thought about it. And remember Charlie the bartender? You got to be over 40, I think, for that one. Charlie the bartender, my grandparents gave me that. I never really thought much of it until now. I'm like, why was a grandparent giving me a bartender? But and what's interesting is all of these toys took D batteries. Now, for those of you under 30, those are batteries about the size of a Venti at Starbucks these days. And that's how everything ran. And so we would get these things, Charlie the bartender, you get robots, and you wanted these things, you go through D batteries like crazy, and you wanted the toys to act like crazy. So Charlie the bartender wouldn't just go like this. You would make chocolate milk with Charlie the bartender. And so you'd put milk inside of this thing, you know, and chocolate. Maybe I'm the only one who did that. And robots should swim, right? In fact, I even brought one of these toys. This one missed it, but most of the toys like this would end up in the sandbox or the dirt. And we would wonder why our toys, our battery-operated toys, would get lazy. And they'd slow way down. And we'd change the batteries, and sometimes that worked, but sometimes it wouldn't work. And it would get really sluggish. And if you really, that's where we, all of us guys, learned electronics. When you actually went into it, you found out that there was corrosion that had taken place in the contacts. And it wasn't going to work. There was very little energy going through there. And if it continued to corrode, you'd have no contact at all. I wonder if you're here today and you feel far from God because there's corrosion in your relationship and contact with God. I wonder if you feel far away from Him because it's rust in between there, and it hasn't been taken care of. Sometimes you could take a file and clean it off. Sometimes you could, you know, shove a battery in there a couple times and make that contact. But maybe there's something wrong in your life. Maybe you're too busy. Maybe you're plain just ignorant of spiritual things. You don't put God first in your life. Maybe there's an area of disobedience in your life, and you're like, no, it's just that, Lord. But it's corroding your relationship, your contact, your power source. And you might even be putting new batteries in every Sunday. You're like, okay, this Sunday it's going to work. This Sunday it'll be great. It's not. And you're caught in the cycle of not being able to contact this power source. You don't have anything. Maybe you're here today and you don't have any contact. You've never met Jesus. You don't know who He is. You don't know Jesus as your forgiver. You don't know Jesus is the one who directs your life on a day-to-day basis. You don't know Him as the one who shows you the Father. Maybe you've never taken that serious before, and that's why prayer just doesn't mean anything. Maybe you have wrong expectations of prayer, and you expect it to make chocolate milk. And it's not going to work. Or you think it's going to swim. Or you're going to play with it in the sandbox. That's what we're here today to look at. What is prayer? I'd like to look at our first scripture verse today. James 4:7. Submit yourselves then to God. Resist the devil and he will flee from you. Come near to God and He will come near to you. Come near to God, and He will come near to you. No matter how far you are from God, no matter how much you hide, no matter how much guilt there is, how much distance, how much corrosion there is between you and God, if you make a step to draw near to God, you will find that He's here. He's as close to you as your breath. And so today, this is what we're going to be looking at. How do we draw close to God? And we're going to look at a spiritual practice called a prayer of examine. Prayer of examine. Now, this is taught by Saint Ignatius. He taught this in the 1500s in a very systematic way, but it actually has its roots back to the first century of Jesus. And it's where we examine our life. Anybody ever seen those post-game review shows after the game? Anybody see those? You know what we're talking about? You know, usually 15 minutes, half an hour after the game. And there's a group of guys, we're at a round table, and they've had all this time, you know, to be reviewing and looking at what happened at the game, and so they know what's going on. And they'll look at it and they'll say, oh, that was an incredible catch. Whoa, look at that play. That was absolutely awesome. Oh, if that guy would have been just, if he would have been right there, he wouldn't have missed it. Oh, was he sloppy on that one? What was that guy thinking? And you hear all this stuff. And they don't miss a beat. And they act as if they would never have made the play that was made that was bad. They're just like, they got it all going on. I'm just like, of course, you can go ahead and critique that because you've had time to loop it over and over and over again, talk about it amongst your buddies there, and of course you can go ahead and do this post-game review and look so perfect. And they do get, you know, I would love to do a post-game review show of post-game review shows. I'm just saying, you know. Yeah, wouldn't that be fun? What was he thinking? Charles Barkley, yeah. All right. Where am I? Examine is like that. Only we get to do it to ourselves. We slow our day down. We just kind of look back at our day. We review what we've gone through. Where we saw God move. Where we moved with God. We get to actually look back and say, I saw God there, and I moved with Him. And we also get to find out where we missed Him. We're just like, wow, that was a God opportunity, and I missed it. It's where we gain a sense of ourself, and we slow ourselves down from a busy world, and we kind of find out who we really are, and we find out who God is, because now we're getting this time to experience the flow of the Holy Spirit. God speaking to us all the time. And we slow it down so we can finally just say, that's where you were, and that's where I wasn't. How can I be in better tune with that? So the prayer of examine is all about that. You can do this prayer anywhere. You can do it in a car. You can do it at the home. You can do it at the library. You can do it during a chick flick. You can do it during anything that where nothing is happening. Okay? Serious. You can do it one time a day. Some people do it two times a day. Some people will do it at lunch. Some people will do it before bed. Before bed's a good time to do this. You can do it. It usually takes 10 to 30 minutes. Sit comfortably. Still yourself. Be aware of yourself, your body, your breathing. You're slowing it way down. It might be helpful to get a notepad. Maybe write things down as they come to you. The Spirit will speak. And sometimes it's good to just put it down in writing so you can go back and ask God to review that a little bit more. You can take notes this morning, but you can go to our website at theriver.tv and you can find all the details of the prayer of examine by going to the digging deeper into this week's message. It's all written out for you. And so today we're going to learn how, but don't be surprised if the Holy Spirit speaks something to you today while you're learning how. First part is called presence. Now, there is not a place in God's created world where God isn't. It's called omnipresence of God. God is everywhere at all times. One of the qualities of being God, is that you're everywhere, you're omnipresent. Do we have an understanding what that means, kind of? Raise your hand if you kind of get that. Okay. In this part of examine, you make it personal. Because it is so easy to believe doctrinally and theologically that God is everywhere, but not that he's with you. So slow it down. Just say, God, I may not feel you right now, but I know that you're here. And maybe it's helpful to look at the scriptures. And Jesus said in Matthew 28, he goes, surely I am with you always, always, even until the end. Maybe you repeat that verse a few times so you can own that. Hebrews 13:5 said, I will never leave you, never will I forsake you. Never will I leave you, never will I forsake you. In the original Greek, that is a triple negative. There is no way, in any case, never, ever, am I ever going to leave you. And maybe you repeat that. It's a place where you get still and you try to be in tune with God. And one of my favorite verses is Psalm 46:10. And be still and know that I am God. In the Hebrew, it really emphasizes that I am. God is here. And so in presence, you're slowing yourself down. You're turning yourself in. It might help to just repeat one of those verses over and over again until you're in tune. And at the same time, ask the Holy Spirit to enliven this to you, to actually wake you up. Questions you might use to center you during this time. When did I sense your presence most in today? And you go, just say that to the Lord. Say, when did I sense your presence? Well, I sensed it just after breakfast, or I sensed it when I got that great parking space, you know, today. You were there, you know, thank you. And just kind of go through your day. Where did I see you? And we say, where did I miss you? Where did I miss you? Like Ed said, I drove by that person who needed help. Is that you? Is that a coincidence? But I think that was you. I think I should have stopped. I think I missed an opportunity there, Lord. You might ask, when were you loving me today? I didn't know it. Where were you loving me? And I did know it. As you're slowing yourself down enough to realize God's presence, his omnipresence is with you. And you might ask, how did I respond to your love today? How did I respond? Did I just take it for granted? Is it gone by? Second step would be gratitude. After you've spent a little bit of time with presence, then you move on to gratitude. And ancient Christian Meister Eckhart said, if the only prayer you say in your entire life is thank you, that would suffice. And so thanks and gratitude really are central in the life of a Christian. And so as you think about the past 24 hours in your day, you're sitting, you're still, you practice the presence of God, and now you think back, well, I say, what do I have to be thankful about? What do I have to be grateful about? Whether it's the big things like the world in which we live and the nature that we get to enjoy, whether it's the country that we live in, right down to the small things, the joy of a grandchild, love of a spouse, the friendship of a good friend that is alongside of you. Take that time and in the presence of God, appreciate that. Count those gifts. And you focus on the experiences and the encounters that you've had. And you ask the Spirit to help you center onto the goodness and the graciousness of God. Just take that time and you enjoy who God is and what he's done in your life. And you express that in words, and maybe it's in songs. Some people use a hymnal, you know, or you can go right online and you can get hymns
you know, or songs, spiritual songs, and just give thanks and sing to God. The Apostle Paul was good at finding things to be thankful for. Ephesians chapter 1, 3 through 10. He says, and maybe it would be helpful to actually open this scripture up. You know, Ephesians chapter 1, right off the bat. And you read this and see how you relate. How are you growing? Do you appreciate the same things that Paul appreciated? And Paul says, "Praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us in the heavenly realms with every spiritual blessing in Christ. For he chose us in him before the creation of the world to be holy and blameless in his sight. In love, he predestined us to be adopted as his sons through Jesus Christ, in accordance with his pleasure and will, to the praise of his glorious grace, which he has freely given us in the one he loves, who is Jesus. In him, Jesus, we have redemption through his blood and the forgiveness of sins, in accordance with the riches of God's grace he has lavished on us with all wisdom and understanding. And he has made known to us the mystery of his will according to his good pleasure, which he purposed in Christ, to be put in effect when the times will have reached their fulfillment, to bring all things in heaven on earth together under one head, even Christ." You'll find as you examine gratitude, you have this great appreciation for Jesus and his people. You have a kingdom focus, which we'll be talking about more as the series goes on. And so step two could take a while, because just living in America, we have so much to be thankful for. And if you're depressed right now, you know what? We're kind of like in a depression, but none of us are living and eating dirt right now. Amen? Praise God. You know, praise God for that. Third, review your day. And now this is a little harsher. St. Ignatius said, when he was talking to this part, was, get ready, "Let me look at the foulness and ugliness of my body. Let me see myself as an ulcerous sore running with every horrible and disgusting poison." A little dramatic, huh? You're just a little over the top there, aren't you? Is there anything I can do to help the sound here? Guys? No? Okay. But maybe it's not all that dramatic. You know, we have such busy lives, and we're afraid to look at the negative parts of who we are that we miss God. And all we do is spend time trying to make ourselves feel better and look better when we don't examine the weaker parts of who we are. We don't look at the dark part of who we are. And this is that opportunity of review to take advantage of yesterday and let yesterday change our tomorrow. Instead of just going fast and fast and fast throughout our lives, to say, stop right now. Yesterday I did that wrong. I want to change that, but I'm never going to be able to change it if I don't actually look back at it and capture it and contain it where it's at. It's this opportunity to break a cycle that maybe some of you have been in for years. And so you ask God to bring your day into focus for real. You bring down your defenses. You know, if God's going to say something to you, don't say, but, yeah, well, you know, you don't understand. Well, this is my plight in life. Well, it's my only point of pleasure. You know what I mean? No excuses at this point. You just say, Lord, I just receive. I receive. You're bigger than me. Say what you're going to say. Look at your interactions with people and things through the day. Spend time. You'll say, you know, I did that. I didn't do that. Okay. What were your intentions during the day? Were you honest? Were you manipulative? Seriously? Honestly? Were you trying to get something for nothing? What were your intentions? And then your responses. When you responded, was it like Jesus would respond? Maybe you just look at your conscience. Is it clear? Is it dark? Is it muddy? Don't move from this place. If it's muddy, just stop. Lord, I don't want to go any further until you tell me what it is that I need to get. I am open. Maybe you ask, you know, where did my time go, Lord? Not like, where did my time go, you know, but actually think about it. Where did my time go? Where was I responding? Where was I resisting? What did you tell me when I was reading your word today? I did read your word today, right, Lord? Maybe you read a scripture section like Psalm 119. I'm going to go from verses 57 to 60. You are my portion, O Lord. I have promised to obey your words. I have sought your face with all my heart. Be gracious to me according to your promise. I have considered my ways and have turned my steps to your statutes. I will hasten and not delay to obey your commands. And that's just a great prayer for you to just start this year out saying, believing, following. It's in this review where you find out where the contacts between you and God has entered into a lot of corrosion, where there's been brokenness, where there's been wrong expectations that you've had about what prayer is all about. And that leads naturally to the last part of examine, and that's to respond to God. Now, you've done all this background work. You've taken the presence of God. You've been thankful. You've done a review. It's only natural to want to respond and change something. I sense there's at least a couple people here today saying, you know what, I've got the response thing down pat. I have promised many times to stop doing this or to start doing that, and it just doesn't work. So, you know, this part, Pastor, you can just blow right on by. You know, I don't like New Year's resolutions, and I hate making promises to God even worse, because it's just a bad New Year's resolution. I want to challenge you with this thought. If you've been battling something over and over again and you think that the battle has been lost and you're never going to win, consider that when you spend the kind of quality time that we're talking about with God, doing it properly, you're going to have the corrosion between you and God taken away, and you're going to have this contact with God, and you're going to experience a spiritual power in your life that it's not you doing the battle anymore, but it's the Spirit doing the battle for you. And it's not necessarily you making a promise to be better this time, but it's you actually finding your place, your rightful place with this awesome and mighty and powerful God. And finally, He can start flowing through you because you've stopped the resistance between you and God. You've cleaned up the corrosion. Maybe some of you are getting rewired. Maybe for the first time you're just encountering Jesus and you're finally having that power. And it's not a New Year's resolution anymore, but it's a spiritual power that you're traveling. Maybe. And so this step I would like to just actually do practically. So you just bow your heads and close your eyes. And I'm just going to kind of lead you through this process. Wherever you have missed or ignored the Holy Spirit's voice, ask for forgiveness and ask Him to make you more aware this week of His voice. Tell Him, starting today, how you want to live differently. How do you want to respond? Now, what patterns do you currently practice with God that you want to keep doing? And ask Him for the power to do that. Is there a wrong relationship in your life? Is there a conflict in your life that needs to be fixed or even gone? Just confess that to Him right now. And is there an addiction in your life that you need to surrender to God, even on an hourly basis? I would like you to just remain in prayer with whatever the Spirit's doing in your life right now as we prepare for communion. And when we go to the communion table, before or afterwards, feel free to write on the walls anything that the Lord is putting on your heart. And just understand that the corrosion between you and God is being healed right now. So just continue in this moment with Him. We thank You for Your perfect sacrifice of Your Son, for us the very imperfect, His perfect blood shed for the forgiveness of sin, and His perfect body given for our healing. And we accept the sacrifice afresh today in the giving of the new bread and the new wine. We want to walk better and closer to You this week. Be here. You do not need to be a member of the river, participate in communion here. As the scriptures indicate, you should be a believer in Jesus Christ. If you have not made that step to believe in Jesus Christ, to accept that forgiveness and to follow Him, you can do that right now. It's just that simple. Just say, Lord, forgive me. I need forgiveness. And I want to follow You the rest of my life. I need to come up and take a piece of bread and dip it into the new wine and experience communion. So as you feel ready, come on up. And also feel free, there's markers up on these two black boxes and up on the rails, up on the promenade to write on the walls. our benediction. Please stand for our benediction. Before you leave today, stop by the info spot. There is no reason why you can't come to the Spiritual Growth Workshops next Sunday. Please make that a priority. We have room for every one of you, and it's going to be a breakthrough in your life. There's something for everybody, whatever level you're at. So don't even worry about what class you're going to go to, because one will fit. You talk to me, you talk to any of our people, we'll figure out which one will work out well for you. Some for the whole family. So, and then you got the cards here. St. Ignatius ended the practice of examine with this prayer. And I would like us to pray this together, if we would. And continue writing on the walls, anybody who's doing that. And so could we have that up on screen? Take, Lord, and receive. A-V, just in case you're not listening. Take, Lord, and receive. Are we able? Please say we're able. Please say yes or no. No, yes. Next week we will have music. Yes. And today we will have video in Jesus' name. Yes. Okay, we're going to close out the prayer of examine, and this will be on the website as well. And let's just read it together. Next slide. Take, look. Well, not that fast. We're not that good. Okay. Take, Lord, and receive all of my liberty, my memory, my understanding, and my entire will. All I have and call my own, whatever I have or hold, you have given me. I return it all to you and surrender it wholly to be governed by your will. Give me only your love and your grace, and I am rich enough, and I ask for nothing more. I pray this week that you would see God clearly, and I pray that you would respond well. We will see you next week with music.